Genesis chapter number 37. As we close this chapter out, let's look, if we could, at verse number 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. In no way may I hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Do a work like only you can, and may Jesus be magnified and glorified in this place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've entitled this section of Genesis 37, Raising a Dreamer. We're thinking about Jacob and all of these sons of his. And yet there's something different about that Joseph, something special about him. We began this chapter looking at the settled family. There they are in a destined place, operating as definite pilgrims. They're living there, but they're not staying there. They're dwelling there, but they're not from there. They've arrived there, but they're not going to stay there. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? We're living here, but we're not from here. We've arrived here, but we're not staying here. We're busy about here, but this is not where we're going to be forever. And by the way, the more that I think about here, and the more here gets worse, I'm glad my home's not here. My home is there. Somebody say amen. And this is Jacob. He's a representative of the child of God, just pilgriming his way, following the leadership of the Lord, visiting here and there, picking up our tent, moving to the next spot, and settling down a while. Maybe somebody tonight has settled your tent somewhere you don't enjoy. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's not what you had planned. Listen to me. Instead of complaining about not liking the place, rejoice that you're not going to be there forever. And start thinking about where you are going to live forever. And get happy about later, right now. And so he's a settled family. Now we see the special favor he gives a coat to Joseph because he loves him. This special favor brings about sibling friction. I reminded you and reminded myself that sometimes the favor from the father brings about friction from the brothers. And sometimes the people of God have a hard time with God blessing you. Amen. Don't take it personal. They wouldn't have a problem with the blessing if it was theirs. Just be glad that God bless you. Amen. And so the sincere faith of Joseph is so clearly exhibited. His servant diligence, he's a shepherd. You got to be diligent to be a shepherd, at least to be a good one, amen? I want you to understand the faith of Joseph at 17 before you start trying to have the faith of Joseph at 30 or 37. See, you've got to start young, amen? You got to start where you are. If you can't have faith watching sheep, then you'll never have enough faith to handle a bunch of food in Egypt. I'm saying trust God where you are so you keep trusting God where you end up. Spiritual dependability brought about the evil report, supernatural dream. He got a word from God. Amen. Faith will give you a word from God. Amen. Faith will give you a word from God when you're the only one that gets it. Faith will give you a word from God when nobody else understands it. Faith will give you a word from God when nobody else can explain it. I'm not talking about some dream or some trance or some vision that doesn't line up with the Bible. I'm just simply saying, being in the place of serving God, that God can talk to you and you can understand and you can be very clear that God said it. There is nothing, my friend, that compares in life to being able to hear the voice of God and know that it's God and know what he said and know what he means. I'm asking you, when's the last time he spoke to you? You heard it, you knew it was him, and you knew what he said. Has God gone silent in the 21st century? Has postmodernism and the foolishness of the world, has nonsense going on out in society caused the voice of God to go silent? Are you crazy? God is still speaking. We just have to have enough faith that we know how to hear what he's saying. And so he shares the declaration. He sustains his dedication. He even witnesses some seething disdain from his brethren. As he dreams, they get mad with it. He tells them he dreams another dream. I'm telling you, keep dreaming even when they get mad with you. Scoffing disbelief. Now, daddy doesn't even understand, but the sound discernment of his father is, I don't have to understand it to just observe it. Amen. You do yourself good sometimes about some things that God is doing that you don't understand. Even if you don't understand them, just sit back and observe them. I'm just telling you, if it's from God and you'll sit back and observe it long enough, just hang on a little while. Eventually, it's going to make sense. The scheming foolishness. We spent a couple weeks watching his brothers. Since they will not be in agreement of God, an agreement with God working in Joseph's life, they're going to do what they can to get rid of him. Can I say to you, this is free. It's not in the message. Well, it's not in the notes, but it's in the message. You not only have to agree with God's working in your life, but you ought to love God enough to be in agreement with God working in other people's life. Amen. Listen, I'm saying this for a reason. Because if you have a problem with the work of God in someone else's life, it's going to show up in his lack of work in your own life. Listen to me. If you get bitter about what God is doing with somebody else, listen to me. One of the biggest things you ever do in the Christian life is be fine with someone else being elevated above you. Be okay with someone else being promoted above you. Be okay with someone else getting spotlight that you don't get. Because after all, it's never about us anyway. It's always about the glory of God. And sometimes people can't understand somebody else going up the elevator unless they're on it with them. I love the spirit of Jonathan. Jonathan is Saul's son, but Jonathan was okay being Saul's son with David being the next king. And maybe the reason why God can't bless you is because you're too mad at him blessing somebody else. And so the scheming foolishness involves everyday ongoings. We won't preach all of this, but we see that as Joseph is being sent on a mission of his father to go check out his brothers, he does what a son ought to do when his father calls him. Here am I. And I'd like to ask you, what do you say when God calls you? Here am I. Exemplary obedience and endearing outlook. He's going to check on his brothers who can't stand him. I'll tell you whether or not you're on the way to getting your dream come true, whether or not you can go look out for people who can't stand you. The evil obsession, they conspired against him. The extreme opinion, they wanted to kill him because he was a dreamer. The exceptional objection, last week we looked at Reuben. Reuben heard it and he delivered him. We talked about doing the best you can to help people right where you are. Amen. And to Reuben, immediately it might have seemed unsuccessful. Because you say later on in the story, Reuben didn't really succeed because they still sold him in a pit. Yeah, but they didn't kill him. Never underestimate saying the truth. Some people say, I don't speak up because nobody will listen. Let me tell you something. You do right because it's right. It's not your job to get the outcome. It's your job to be obedient. And so he spoke up. Last week, we looked at Reuben. We looked later in the chapter and we find out that not only does Reuben get involved, but as they're passing through, we find out that even Judah says, verse 26, what profit is it if we slay our brother, conceal his blood? Some have said maybe Reuben didn't want this to happen on his watch because he was the oldest and he felt like he'd be responsible with his brother getting hurt and he didn't do what he needed to do as the older brother. I don't know all that motivated wanted Reuben to have a problem with. I just know he said the right thing when he said, we ought not do this. And I don't know what your motive is, but I'm telling you, it pays to do the right thing. And I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure out why people do what's right. I'm just glad when they do right. I thought today, I wonder if Reuben was a stimulus for Judah to speak up to. Verse 26, what profit it is if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? I wonder if Judah got that from Reuben. Come on now. Just because 10 people don't listen to you doesn't mean that one's not. Amen. 26, let's sell him. And he was sold. Here came the Midianite merchant men, drew Joseph out of the pit. And now Reuben, who obviously wasn't around when Judah and the rest of them decided that he should be sold, Reuben comes back and looks in the pit, hoping to find his brother, hoping that his deliverance is successful, only to find out he's gone. His outrage, his heartbroken spirit, he says to them, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? How will I explain this? How will I deal with this? How will I move on from this? I can't believe you did. Has anybody in your life ever done something that you warned them was wrong, that you begged them not to do, and you come back later hoping they have heeded your counsel, only to find out they did the wrong thing anyway? And I'm asking you, how does that make you feel? How does it make you feel as a parent? When you've sat down with the child and said, don't do that. It's no good. It's going to hurt you. It's going to come back to haunt you. It's not something you need to do. And only to find out later they did it anyway. And let me tell you something. It pays to listen to people when they tell you what's right. Tonight I want to close this subject. And really, I didn't read verse 36 because if I were outlining the passage, I'd have put verse 36 in chapter 38. So I don't want you to think I forgot it, but it's going to come in our next section as it pertains to Joseph. Tonight I want us to follow up with the settled family, the special favor, the sibling friction, the sincere faith, the scheming foolishness with what I call the sorrowful father. All of this is going on, and Jacob is back at the house, unbeknownst to all of it. And so I want you to notice what these fellows are doing. We have done something wrong. And now that we've done something wrong, we have to find a way to spin it to daddy. Anybody listening? See, doing wrong never ends with doing wrong. See, once you step into scheming with the devil, one lie demands another lie, and one indiscretion demands another indiscretion. Now you've pulled off getting rid of Joseph, but you still got to go back home. Anybody listening tonight? You can cut a fool on Saturday night, but you got to come to church on Sunday. Amen. You can have fun at 2 o'clock in the morning, but you still got to get in the house. Right? You can pull off a scheme with everybody. You can fool everybody, and you can pull it off with everybody. You can cover your tracks, but somebody's got to come up with a way to convince daddy that is right. Look at this passage, would you? And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Verse 31. So what'd they do? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Now, that's just what I call a perpetrated fatality. A perpetrated fatality. They're going to dip this coat in blood and make it look like he's dead. Now, wait a minute. He's not dead. Is anybody reading your Bible? He's not dead, but this is what they're going to tell daddy, he's dead. Hey, listen to me. See, when you do what's wrong, now you've got to perpetrate something that didn't really happen to somebody else. And here they go showing, here they got this code, this perpetrated fatality, and these perverted facts. Notice how they pervert the facts. Notice what they say to their father. They take this coat and dip it in blood, and they sent a coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father. Here comes this bloody coat. Sin will have you working hard. Anybody listening to me? I said, sin will have you. The devil will have you going all around using up all your gas mileage. Somebody help me preach. The devil will have you changing into 3 and 4 outfits. When if you live for God, you'd only worn one. The devil will run up your cleaner bill. He'll run up your food bill. He'll run up your makeup bill. Amen. Daddy, you're looking around. Am I too loud? Okay, it's bothering me that you're bothered. Excuse me. Sound man, turn me down just a little bit. Pastor Baldwin is cringing. I'm cringing to find out why he's cringing. You don't know why either one of us is cringing. Now maybe we'll both stop cringing. Amen. Can't preach on a sorrowful father and see my father sorrowful and not do something about it. We planned all of that just for a sermon illustration. Great job, Dad. You did just how we planned. Amen. Glory to God. We've been working together for a while. What was I talking about? The devil had you. The devil will have you going extra. What the young people say, the devil had you doing too much. Doing too much. Now, I want you to follow these fellows. They have schemed Joseph. They've engaged in foolishness that is unexplainable and inexcusable. But you can't just be a fool because you got to face your father. Is anybody listening to me? Sin is fun till you face the father. Is anybody listening? It's all fun till you have to face the father. And then you got to come up with some scheme. So now they're doing too much. Now they got to go kill some goats. And now they got to take the blood. This is getting real, real, real gory, isn't it now? Come on now, fool around with sin a little bit. You'll have your hands all gory and bloody. You'll be messing in stuff you didn't want to mess in. So now they got to take this coat, dip it in blood, and then take this drenched coat in blood. By the way, they're not mad at Daddy, they're mad at Joseph. But in order to carry out their anger with Joseph, they got to hurt Daddy too. You never just hurt the person you're mad with. You start hurting everybody because you think about yourself. So here they come with this coat. And here's, listen, I want you to notice this first book of the Bible, but God is introducing to us to a lot of schemes of the devil in Genesis. Here's a scheme of the devil, perpetrated fatality. The devil always wants to make you think it's over. Anybody listening? Come on. The devil always perverts the truth. He always twists up. You say, well, Pastor, how bad were they? Well, not only did they do the extra to go kill an animal and dip the coat in blood, listen what they're saying to Daddy. They sent the coat to many colors. They brought it to their father. This have we found. You ain't find it. You've been had it. Lie. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. Lying still. You know it's the coat. How many people got a coat like that around here? Quit acting a fool. But 33, they're still lying. And he knew it. And he said, it is my son's coat. I mean, they're making up a bunch of lies. Listen to me. They're trying to tell Daddy, we found this coat somewhere just while we were just out doing what we're supposed to do. Here goes this bloody coat. They drenched it. We found it somewhere. No, they took it off of him. We don't know if it's his. Yeah, you know it's his. He was wearing it. You've been mad ever since he got it. Perpetrated fatality. Perverted facts. I want you to get this tonight. I'm not going to be much longer. Presumed fate. Presumed. Look at this. I don't want you to miss the devil. Verse 33, he knew it. That's not a presumption. He gave him the coat. That wasn't a presumption. That was a fact. It is my son's coat. That wasn't a presumption. That is a fact. An evil beast hath devoured him. That's a presumption. And let me give you even a stronger one. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Watch this now. He didn't see a dead body. He saw a bloody coat. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to presume something is without doubt torn in pieces just because you've seen a coat. Years ago, I preached a message called, "It's Just a Coat." It's just a coat. Now watch this now. There are some people in the building who have given up on an important relationship in your life because of a bloody coat. And you have presumed that you and that person are beyond reconciliation. There's only one problem. You left out God. I said you left out God, but I know somebody's thinking, yeah, but what other choice did Daddy have to believe? What other choice did Daddy have to believe? He's got sons coming here telling them they found a coat. He's got a coat that's bloody that he gave to him. I mean, logic tells us that if the coat is bloody and the boys said they found it, that Joseph might be dead. What else is there to believe? How about believe the promise of God's covenant? How about believe that God is working in this boy? How about believe that this boy got a dream from God? How about believe that if God spoke to Joseph, like Joseph told me, he can't be dead. Them boys must be lying, because I will not believe the boys over God. And I'm telling you, I meet more Christians every day that have already begun funeral plans for stuff that's not even dead. And I'm not talking about people. Well, my testimony is dead. I'll never get up. My calling is dead. The chance for me to do what God's called me to do is dead because I don't have money. The chance for me to do this is dead because I've got sickness in my body. The chance for me to do this is dead because somebody I depended on hung me out to dry. The chance for me to do this is dead because people don't believe. And listen to me, you better stop believing a bloody coat over believing the God who loved you and the God who called you and the God who's moving in you. And I'm telling you, there's a presumed faith. There is a daddy who presumes that his son is dead. Watch this now. Acting on that presumption, he has painful feelings. Watch this now. He rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days, and that causes provisional forbiddance. The Bible says his sons and daughters try to comfort him, and he resumes it, and it puts him in a pitiful function. I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. This his father wept for it. Watch this now. The rest of the chapter of Jacob's actions are all based on a fate that was presumed that didn't even happen. Nope. Don't comfort me. I will die mourning. We have the privilege of reading the rest of Genesis to know that Jacob is mistaken. Truth of the matter is, we're going to get to the end of this book and Jacob's going to see Joseph again. Here's what I'm telling you. It could be that you are sitting around in a pity party, determined not to be comforted over something that didn't even happen. Have you ever scheduled a pity party? I'm talking about put it on your calendar. Oh, I heard some news from somebody about my bills. I heard some news from somebody about somebody in my life that's not that. The problem with people that schedule pity parties is they like to invite a lot of people to them. Have you ever seen somebody working misery and inviting you to it? I mean, you come in a good, happy mood and you run into a scheduled pity partier and you can just see them conjuring their face. And here you go. Do I want to do this? Do I really want to do this? You're talking to yourself in your mind. Do I really want to do this? And you know what you're saying to yourself? Do I really want to ask that person how he's doing? I'm doing. I said I wasn't going to be that much longer, but let me just say this. I've talked to some people on Tuesday that weren't feeling well who were already telling me they weren't going to be at church on Sunday. I'm just speaking. Let me just tell you for me. If my voice starts getting hoarse on Tuesday. Do you know that I'm popping every bit of vitamin C I can in my throat? Is anybody listening to me? If I wake up sniffing on Thursday, you think I'm about to call daddy and say, you better study up because I can already tell I ain't going to be able to mount the pulpit on. Let me tell you something. I'm drinking NyQuil. Forget the cup. I'm drinking NyQuil. I'm doing everything I can. Salt water, apple cider vinegar, anoint me with oil. Listen to me. I got to be somewhere on Sunday. Somebody needs to hear the word of God. I ain't about to let the devil have me missing church on Sunday, and it's only Thursday. And I watch people at the beginning of service. You have already decided when you got in here, you're not going to have a good service. And you got that look by, not only am I sad, but I want to make sure that everybody knows it. Oh. You ever thought about going to church and say, God, I don't feel good, but I know enough about you that you are good, that you can take my miserable feeling body and you can take my jacked up week and you can take my burdens that I've been carrying that my shoulders feel too heavy, and you can take a song that the choir sings and anoint it to lift my burden, and you can take a message that the preacher is preaching and do something in my heart. Listen, Jacob, I know there's a code. I know there's blood. I know there are sons that you want to believe, but what about presuming the goodness of God? And as best as I know how, he's going to spend the next 20 years. 17 Joseph was when he got a dream. 30 he was when he became governor. 7 good years before his brothers ever came. So at the very least, he's 37. 37 years old before he ever faces his brothers, at the very least. For 20 years, this daddy has engaged in an intentional, purposeful mourning period over the death of a son that's not only not dead, that boy's sitting in the palace. And why in the world do you want to be spending your money buying a casket for a body that's alive? That's the enemy. He wants to get you mourning the loss of someone you haven't even lost. I want us to listen to this saddened father. And by the way, let's not let the boys off the hook. Because nobody that loves God or loves other people should purposefully make someone believe something that you know would hurt them. Why would you do? If you're a child of God that's comfortable lying to someone for your own benefit, knowing that the lie will destroy someone's psyche, you are in way too deep. And if you're a child of God that receives news where for all intensive purposes the evidence looks like a negative fate, hold on to the character of God over the evidence of people, because his track record has proven that even though it looks dead, sounds dead, and seems dead, he has a way to making you know it's a lie. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray you help us. I pray that you'll work in our hearts and our lives to remind us that you're at work. You're moving. You're directing. You're guiding. Help us not to forget it. We thank you for being a good God. In Jesus' name, for his sake.